molecular technique. Not true. The company administers them for the general good. Fine. So on this trip, the profits will be for my general good. I figure I'm owed something. I knew Levine and the rest. I trained with them. I'm taking my reward now. I've got the jackpot. Something small and black hopped around the curve of the corridor behind him. Kin recalled that Marco, determinedly human, had been trying to make a pet of the raven. It was feeding time. I shall need assistance, J-Lo said. You've got the self-filling purse, said Kin. That sounds like a jackpot to me.
Nah. With what's here, we can start our own company where we're going.
He reached into a side pocket and pulled out a navigation reel.
It's all here.
I would prefer to talk further without the pistol threatening us, said Silver painfully. It is not kind.
The raven flew up onto Jalo's shoulder and screamed in his ear. A stream of clipe needles zonked into the ceiling. Marco moved so fast that his passage across the space separating him from Jalo could only be deduced from the fact that he was suddenly astride the fallen figure, the clipe held in one hand and the other three raised to smash a skull. He blinked and looked around as if waking from a dream. He stared at Jalo and then leaned forward.
He's dead, he said helplessly. I didn't even strike him.
Kin knelt down by the man. He was dead before you got there. She had seen the face go snow white after the bird's scream. Jalo had already been dropping when Marco reached him. He was sufficiently recently dead for it to be worth slotting his body into the ship's medical sargo, which immediately flashed a row of red lights. Kin checked the readings on the panel below. Cell rupture, organ rupture, brain damage. When they got back to a human world, it would be 6 months in a resurrection vat for Jalo.
A coronary?
Suggested Silver. Massive, said Kin. He's lucky. There was silence, and when Kin turned, the Shand was looking at her in astonishment.
Coronary is easy, she explained. We can repair that. Simple job. If Marco had got to work on him, there wouldn't have been anything left to put in the vat. He threatened Marco.
Silver nodded.
Kung are paranoid, but he also acts like a human.
You watch him enter a room. That walk of his is a fighting stance. Kung don't know the meaning of the word fear.
Fine, said Silver pleasantly. Half Kung, half human. Well, I know the meaning of the word fear, and right now I'm scared.
Yeah, I can see. A few seconds of vertigo, an eternity of despair. The first thing Kin registered when her sight came back was the cabin window and the view outside. The ship appeared to be surrounded by a fog full of icebergs. She was dimly aware of an alarm which cut off abruptly. She was aware of hazy stars and of drifting across the cabin because there was no gravity. Silver was floating near what had been the ceiling, out cold. Let's see. The ship had been floating on a lake. Now it was floating in space. Outside was frozen air and quite a bit of the lake, so down on Kung storms must be raging since a few cubic hectares of air and water had suddenly been dragged into space inside the ship's elsewhere field. In free fall, Kin's natural genius felt somewhat cramped. She swam and bounced her way to the control room, where Marco was hunched over the main console like a spider, and screamed in his ear. He grabbed her out of the air and turned her to face the big screen at the far side of the cabin. She stared, open-mouthed. After a while, she fetched Silver, who was treating a slight head wound in the medical room and cursing in several languages, and made her watch. When the film was finished, they ran it through again.
"I put Jago's reel in the navigator," said Marco finally. "It included this."
"Run it again," said Kin. "I want to have another look at one or two bits."
"The picture quality is exceptionally good," said Marco. "It had to be. They were meant to be transmitted over tens of parsecs."
"If I may interrupt for a few seconds," said Silver.
She reached up to her tusks and began to twist them. Kin watched in fascinated horror as the fangs unscrewed and were stowed away in a small leather case.
She had seen Fangless Shandy on Shand its